Welcome to the Easeful Uplevel, where we talk all things conscious entrepreneurship, spirituality, and upleveling without stress. Together, Aaron Tobias, our marketing expert, meets with Allison Borstad, our mindset expert, where we just get into the nitty-gritty of what it means to figure out who you are, what your purpose is, and what your next steps are. Our goal is to make it as effortless and easeful as possible, even when you're going through hard times. Our goal is to get our mindsets right and get our energy right so that we feel like we can attack anything, we can accomplish anything. Consider this your energetic upgrade of the day. We hope you love this episode.
I was meeting with our Nikki Novo graduates. And we are the 2024 graduates of the Soul Reading Method. And they literally saw, well, several times actually, our podcast came up, which is interesting because to me, this is like something that we are doing of our hearts. But I think like sometimes as we are doing these like earthly things, they don't feel very cosmic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so it was very fascinating for this work to keep popping up. And the theme was like, number one, like support of women. So showing all sides of the journey of womanhood and continuing to explore and grow and enjoy the journey that we are on, the community that we have created, and the community that we are continuing to build. And also, it was very fascinating because they were telling me to also lean into topics that are maybe difficult to talk about, which is, I know, one of the things that you and I have been wanting to continue to do. We have done a few times, but also, like, sometimes it feels like it's a hard task when we want to keep things like so high vibe.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is sometimes too much of like the negativity out there, you know, like you turn on the news and it's like the world is going down, or it's very easy to get caught up in feeling like doomsday or trauma bonding or whatnot. But I also think that the human experience includes things like grief and sadness and feelings of unworthiness and such and so forth. We can go on and on, disappointment. And that as women, one of our strengths is to nurture and grow and through these feelings and create a safe place to feel these things and learn from them. And so I hope that also this podcast can be a place where we do talk about those things. We do share these experiences in an effort not to trauma bond, but in an effort to learn and grow from them and help others to also have their own experience. And feel these things that are so, the messages that I kept getting is like, they're so integral to the human experience. And especially if you are feeling like you are a light being or someone who is not accustomed to the feelings that humans go through, it can be hard to experience them. Like, I often find myself asking, like, what is this feeling of grief? Or what is this feeling of sadness? Like, I don't understand it. My neutral is like happy. My neutral experience has always been happy. And that actually hasn't always been a comfortable space to be in, because I think a lot of people will judge you or like wonder, like, why are you sitting here all happy all the time? Like, don't you see the suffering around you? Or don't you, like, is this just an act? Or like, you know, maybe there's some jealousy there. Like, why can't you just think you're so perfect or great? Like, people have told me that to my face. Like, strangers have literally walked up to me and been like, you think you're Miss Perfect, don't you? And it's like, no, I just my neutral is happy. Like my natural state is peace, mm-hmm. contentment, and happiness. And that's how I came into this world, like knowing those feelings best. And that's a beautiful thing. But when you are confronted with having to work through grief or work through sadness or work through disappointment or work through conflict, it's a very difficult thing when that's not where you're something that you're used to. So I think it's interesting. I feel very much like my soul is here to experience these feelings and learn from them. I think we all are. But I think especially those who have like that moment, that touch of 5D, that touch of like light being, it's also can be quite uncomfortable. And I think the challenge is not to bypass those feelings. So
yeah. Girl, we're on the same wavelength. Literally, I was having kind of a download and like a deep moment of thought on this exact topic. Because, you know, I've created this kind of like energetics of overflow chart, right? That kind of talks about these higher frequency energies or vibrations, right? Like peace and love or like the higher vibes like you're talking about. And then there's heavier ones like grief, right? Or anxiety or fear or resentment. And yeah, and the goal is not to get rid of the other ones, right? And like that was one of the things that kept coming through to me yesterday was that the peace, love, and joy ones aren't necessarily superior, if that makes sense, because like we actually really do need the lower ones to have like depth. Or I was even thinking about it in terms of like connecting this, like you were even talking about sacred femininity, of like the pain of childbirth brings in a life into the world. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a very earthy experience, you know, yeah. And I keep thinking about this too, of like, if we identify as light workers or the bringers of the light, right. Or people who feel very spiritually connected, like parts of us feel like we're tapped into the clouds and we're also in a human body and having this 3D experience, you feel like there is this like constant balancing of the connection to the earthiness and planting your feet literally into the soil. And getting the feet dirty, right? And like being here and like, what does my body feel like today? Right? And being open to like whatever that answer is. And it doesn't, there's no failure if you're like, my body doesn't feel good today, right? Or my heart hurts today or my something, right? It's like, I've just been thinking about that a lot, even in terms of like balancing the chakras, right? Like if we're really wanting to kind of have more of these spiritual experiences where you think of almost like the crown chakra, right? Of like receiving divine light, or even the third eye chakra where, you know, you're like visioning and manifesting and all these things. There is such thing as those things becoming overactive and then the rest of your chakras being underactive and then feeling like you are this head in the clouds, very like off kilter almost, right? And so you really want to continuously kind of foster the connection to both, which is funny because we talk a lot about grounded leadership, right? Like be in your body, right? Be here right now. Like so, there's a time and a place to go into the clouds. And then there's a time and a place to like really be in your body. And again, I think the beautiful like yin and yang and the contrast and the interplay between those things is where like the true depth comes. Cause otherwise, like you said, this whole concept of spiritual bypassing is a thing. If you're just like plugging your ears and like, tra-la-la, there's nothing bad going on, you know? And at the same time, it's so funny because imbalances can go both ways, right? So you can be maybe repressing negative, what you perceive as negative or heavy emotions for like the happy ones that typically feel better, honestly. But I also have seen imbalances go the other way, especially with my experience as a therapist, where some people are like a little too rooted in the suffering, where it overwhelms, right? And there's only like maybe little flashes or sometimes periods of no flashes of the joy, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I think ideally we flow really fluidly, like we something stirs something up in us or an old shadow comes up or a trigger comes up. And for you to like really look at that and sit in it and feel it for a second and love on it and ask it questions and like, you know, be in it. And then which kind of facilitates then coming back into the light, right? The integration of it all. But again, tying this all back to sacred femininity, I do think there's something really cool about just the qualities of fluidness and flow and journeying and receiving and giving and nurturing. Like it's this very give and take, like organic thing. It's ever moving when it comes to femininity, which is really interesting. If you're thinking of like the traditional definitions of like a masculine energy, which is more structured, right, versus a feminine energy that might be a little bit softer. And it's funny because a lot of us professional women get to a certain level of success being like really leaning into the masculine side in some ways. And a lot of our institutions are set up that way, you know, in terms of like universities and certifications and all those things. And then it's really cool once we're in our own zone of genius and expertise and we're healing some of our old wounds and we're asking for help and we're being a little more vulnerable and we're connecting with people more of like the ability to soften as well and receive at the same time. Like, I think this is just such a journey of opening, right? Where there's a place for both. But again, I think it's the integration, right? We have to hold space for all of it. Like, if we want to expand, if we want more abundance, if you're manifesting anything, I keep reminding myself that you have to be open as your world and your lens gets bigger. It's also going to invite in more darkness potentially. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I always, again, think of like taking, you know, a picnic basket full of fruit to have an outdoor picnic on the 4th of July. There will be bugs coming to get on your fruit. Expect them to be there. It's part of the ecosystem, right? And it doesn't mean that something's gone wrong or that they're ruining the experience. It's just like, this is all part of the experience. The ants are part of the experience, just like the sweetness of the pineapple is. So I think it's just something, if we're open to that and don't make it wrong too, what a rich experience we can have without deep turmoil or suffering, even if there's discomfort. But I think the suffering piece is when we're like, this shouldn't be here. This shouldn't be happening. Something has gone wrong. I'm wrong. I'm going the wrong way versus like, okay, this.
Yeah. And I think there also is an element of needing to be rooted in order to hold the whole experience. So I will just share, like, I am definitely going into a period in my life that is going to be filled with grief. Like, I just am. And I see that on the horizon. I have many loved ones who are ill, who will likely be passing in the next few weeks, months. This is something that we experience. And I'm going to probably not be sharing a lot of it in real time. I don't know. But I do think that part of my thought process this year was like going into this year knowing that that was going to happen. And it's sad. I'm not like trying to plan for that. But also at the same time, like, I want to honor my loved ones and I want to be able to spend time with them. And so I'm really grateful to my past self who worked so hard to create a life where she knew that she would want this. You know, like, it's not, I'm 35. All my grandparents are still with me, which is amazing. But like, they're all in their 80s. So knowing that, I'm so grateful that I created a life where I have the space to go visit. I have the space to take off as I need. An overly structured experience in work can be very challenging when you're going through these times. So I'm kind of like grateful for that past self who had the foresight to realize like this is coming. I also think that it's been I see a period also of like profound joy that is coming towards me as well. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you said about there's no superior feeling, because there can be so much guilt when there's like joy and grief all happening at once. And the challenge is not to shame yourself and not to feel that guilt, because if you really do believe that, and what we learn in like the 5D world is like there really is no superior feeling. I mean, this is a very human created thought process that there's like one better feeling than the next. When you really start to think about it, how ridiculous. There's so much that we categorize as like better than other things that don't need to be categorized that way. It's just ridiculous. And one of the things I love about your teachings, Allison, is this idea of neutrality. And I think it's very wise that you teach that, because likely when someone is coming to you, they are in a state of perfectionism. They're also like a very strong feeler. So as a highly sensitive individual, They're likely feeling all the feelings, no matter whether they're good or bad or whatever. We're categorizing them in our head when we get to you very strongly. And so to have a neutral experience with these feelings allows for us to learn from them and not have that shame pop up. Mm-hmm. As a perfectionist, you have a lot of shame that you have to get through that is put on us by this world, and categorizing our feelings as either good or bad only perpetuates that. And so I love this idea of like practicing neutrality whenever these experiences, when these feelings come up, and finding ways to stay true to yourself. So for me, I know I'm someone who brings lightness, happiness, joy. I know that to my grandparents, I've always been a blessing. I just know that to be true. I'm the first one who was born. I'm not saying this to have like a hot head, but I know that my goal I know that one of my gifts to them is to bring beauty and joy and happiness. And I know that I have done that for 35 years. And I owe it to them to continue to do that. And if I show up in a way that's like not normal to myself, if I'm sitting there having to act like all sad or whatnot, I'm still going to be sad. I'm sure I'm going to cry. But it's also doing them a disservice to abandon myself in these situations. So being able to have, again, this full human experience together, knowing also that I'm going to be able to talk to them when they are gone and they're going to become my greatest teachers and guides. I know that for a fact. It's just an interesting portal that I'm entering into. And so I know that there's going to be a lot that I learn. And also I'm grateful for this community too, that we are creating, to be able to hold each other through these experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that the beauty is too, in the entrepreneurial journey, I think a big part of it is really embracing your authenticity. And it's funny, you know, I mean, this is a journey for people, whether you're working for someone else or working for yourself. But I think when it's you and you're like, who am I? Once you're in your own brand, you're not like, I know what my company's expectations were for me. I know how they wanted me to act, right? But actually, like, who am I and how do I work best and how do I express myself authentically and how do I be real? I think this authenticity too of letting go of, I should be acting this way or feeling this way. Anything that's like should. I should be this, but I'm not. Like, anytime there's that discordance there, I think there's something really cool, even as a leader, of just of not putting the like the fake happy mask up, which I think a lot of us are kind of trained to do, our like little customer service face or voice or whatever. Right? And maybe there's a time and a place for it, but I think there's also something really powerful, especially when you have the freedom and ability to just be at whatever vibe you're at. Right. And still show up powerfully. Like, you know, it's funny, even sometimes when I'm showing up in some of my client sessions, you know, I do my best to really cultivate this really kind of buoyant, lit up, energetic kind of energy for that. That's my ideal place to be. But there are some days where, you know, they'll ask me how I'm doing and I'll be like, to be honest, my kids were up last night. Da, da, da. There's a handful of things, right? And yeah, I can still be equally as potent in that session. We still get a ton of stuff done. And sometimes like that moment of human connection of like, oh yeah, we're both on like the mom bus today, right? And here we are meeting in the middle. Like there's something equally beautiful about that. If they're like, man, I'm tired. I'm like, me too. What are we doing today? You know? So I do think there's something about just, yeah, letting it all exist. And I always come back to like, in terms of this concept of joy that accompanies all other emotions. And to me, there's like a certain level of gratitude of like always holding on to like the fact that I'm alive and present in this moment is a miracle, period. Yeah. And every time I remind myself that, or even like having a moment of potentially holding a loved one's hand as they're passing or something, deep, deep grief. But there could also be this profound, almost like joy of like, this is a special moment, even though my heart is breaking kind of a thing. Like, and I think to have like that space for a deep-seated awe, even of the struggle, even like childbirth. It's a very, very intense experience. But I also had a moments of like that too, of like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, what an experience that we're having here, right? Or like, you know, or to be a part of ushering them, like seeing my kids' beautiful little faces of like, what? Like, what did we just do here? Right? That was wild. That was intense. But also, yeah, I think just like keeping an openness for all of it and not repressing any of it, I think is probably the level of wisdom and growth that we're all doing our best to work towards. Yeah. So I really appreciate you sharing that on here and kind of being vulnerable and authentic. And the cool thing is sharing all of this, do you feel unsafe or do you feel almost more open and loved and supported in terms of like sharing aspects of your, not that you're like sharing every detail necessarily, but in terms of being like, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't know if I have every detail because I'm kind of processing in real time, but I do feel like very safe in sharing. I feel immense support from like knowing, number one, the earthly support system that I have. And I don't think it's an accident that I've just been flooded with amazing sisterhood over the past year. I mean, this is an expansive community, not just this community, but many others. And so I feel an immense support system around me on the earthly realm. And also I feel an immense support from like the heavens, just to be very honest. It's been really interesting to connect with some of my relatives as they've been even like under anesthesia, as I think that their soul is kind of traveling and preparing. A lot of times they have come to me and it's been really beautiful to get to know them on that soul level and see the aspects of themselves that they may have been repressing in the human world. So I'll give an example. One of my relatives is not very open with his emotions. I mean, he's been getting there, you know, past like few years, but he's always been one that has been very gruff, very like kind of angry, not very loving, not very present. And definitely he's made an effort to be more present in the past few years after he's been ill. But when I connected to his soul randomly one day, it was so childlike and it was so happy and delighted and also like surprised. Like he literally told me, he was like, oh my gosh, I figured this out. He was like, I figured out how to do this. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I can do this. Like he was like learning this skill. And I was like, yes, you can do this. You can do this anytime. You can do this even when you're not under anesthesia. You can do this, you know, when you're no longer here. Like I will always be open to talk to you. And it was so interesting to have that experience with him. And I felt such a beautiful connection. And I'm not saying that his human self has totally like transformed into this like soul that I knew, that I know of like this happy, buoyant. Because when I saw him, it was like kind of the normal, still the same. But I did feel like there were moments of like kinship. And I understood a little bit more where he was coming from. So maybe some of the areas where he's felt like he couldn't be his full self. It prompted me to ask questions about his childhood and how he grew up and understand the things that he liked and maybe the things that he's not able to enjoy now as an adult because he feels like he needs to be in a certain way. And so I look forward to learning more things about my loved ones as they start to pass and, develop these other sides of themselves. And so, yeah, I think that definitely there is this like fear of death sometimes, but honestly, I can tell you it's not something to fear. But there is a loss there because being in this human world is so precious and having this physical reality is so, so precious. as we are kind of confronted with this reality, it does make you want to soak up every moment just even deeper. And it's a beautiful kind of motivation to start to experience these earthly feelings. And I think that's been one of my primary drivers of healing is like, let me get everything out of my time here so that when I do pass, and who knows how many years I'll be in the soul world, I mean, it could be like millennia, that I have learned the lessons that I need in order to be able to do my work there.
Yeah. Well, and to be deeply present to it all too, because I think a lot of us spend a lot of time in our heads, like just overthinking and exploring all corners of every possible timeline and catastrophe that could happen, or right, or overthinking being perfectionistic, or and it's funny that some of the most like profoundly divine moments that I've had are where I'm like literally I'm like sitting in the grass and I'm literally touching the grass, right? And the sun is setting and the warm breeze is like hitting my face, right? It's like a very, you know, the birds are chirping, right? It's a very embodied experience where you're just like, whoa. Right? So there are these moments too where like really being present in here, and I think being open to like the feeling of awe, AWE, right, is one that I don't know that we feel enough or like, I think it's something if you invite yourself to feel it more often. I even have like some of these like mindful meditation walks where I'm like, I want to find one thing that I've been in absolute awe of today from just like nature, right? Just from this human experience. It could be, you know, seeing like a mother kiss her kid before they run onto a bus, right? Or it could just be like, you know, a bird like pulling a worm up out of the soil and you're just like, what, you know, or like seeing like a flower opening. And it's like some of these like very simple things, again, I think to just be really present, I think is just so profound, and it's for free and it's easy. Yeah.
and like honoring those soul knowings too, mm-hmm. you know, not yeah. repressing those childlike moments, those things that you used to like, those things that your inner child is saying. I think we do that as adults so much. And there's a lot of awe that comes with being a child. I mean, everything's amazing when you are a child.
Yeah. Or it's just like everything's so fresh and so new. And it's interesting, as you were talking about your experience of connecting with someone's essential soul versus maybe their conditioned self, right? Like conditioned by culture and trauma and who knows, right? Their whole life journey. It does make me think of, actually, it's so funny. I've got like my Sufi wisdom oracle cards here, which like Sufism is the mystical branch of Islam. But it's, their teachings are really beautiful because they talk about kind of we have this beautiful soul that's a reflection of the divine. And they always talk about it as like cleaning the mirror, because like as we go through life, the mirror gets covered in like dirt and dust and muck and all of the stuff. Things get thrown at the mirror. There's all of these things where like if it gets dirty enough and neglected enough, you can't see any of the reflection. And the idea is having like these practices, whether it's meditation or journaling or prayer habitually, where it's like daily maintenance of cleaning or cleansing the mirror, or reading spiritual texts that remind you that the mirror is even there, right? And that it is a reflection of the divine. And so I think, again, it's so cool that you're like, oh, like the, you know, the disembodied, so the soul that came out of this maybe traumatized body, right? Or traumatized mm-hmm. experience was so clear and pure and like beautiful. And it's just really cool that I think we all have that. And again, us spending the time in self-care and self-maintenance and like spiritual practice is just such a beautiful way to keep like recalling that again and again. And, you know, again, metaphorically kind of like wiping off some of the dust that naturally accumulates by living in this world. It just does, right? Like we're having a really earthy, sometimes really mucky experience down here, and that's okay. And it's like, we can have both. And the whole thing with cleaning the muck too, is you got to get your hands dirty and you got to look at it and you got to be like, what is this? Where did this come from? Right? Having those moments of like shadow work or whatever you want to call it. Again, I think it's so cool. You had mentioned earlier neutrality of when we aren't scared of the shadows, right? Or aren't labeling the shadows, or even like mud itself is essential for plants to grow. So there's actually nothing wrong, or like, even, you know, if you're labeling mud dirty, well, it's like, okay, well, but dirt is full of nutrients and soil, right? So there's still, it's just, it's a different manifestation of things that are all necessary for life, right? And so if we just like open ourselves to all of it, I think that's it right there.
Yeah, have the audacity to meet your own soul. And I think also be open to the souls of others. And I do think that if we did that more, there would be a little bit more understanding, a little bit more peace, a little bit more self-love, a little bit more of a feeling of like worthiness. And so maybe that is the homework as we wrap up this podcast. We always like to leave you guys with a little bit of an intention. And so my thought with that would be, have a moment like with yourself of quietness and unabashedly make the intention to meet your soul and to understand it a little bit deeper and listen to what it might be saying.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I love that. I also, one thought or reflection that might be fun for folks. I don't know if fun is the word, but profound. What if nothing is wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if there's nothing wrong with your life? Like, even if you're in a moment of suffering or transition, or like just really sitting with that thought of what if nothing is actually quote unquote wrong? It's just like, it is. And then you can describe what is, and it might be like, well, it's kind of ouchy is what it is, but is it wrong? Right. Again, I think that's like where potentially people get stuck. And so being open to the experience and knowing too that nature ebbs and flows. And so where there's darkness also comes light, right? It just, it's all of it, right? Flowing back and forth and knowing that the lightness is coming as well.
Okay. We love you. Bye.
Love you. If you loved this episode on radical authenticity and showing up as your real self, then you're going to love Thought Girl Summer, where we support you deeply in being the thought leader that you're meant to be. And you don't have to be anybody else, and you don't have to strive, and you don't have to try and all these things. All you have to do is sink deeper into your authentic being and your authentic message, get really clear on it, and being open and willing and excited to share.
We would love to support you in your glow up this summer as you become the thought leader you are meant to be. In order to get access to bonus sessions with both me and Allison, these are individual sessions, one-on-one with us, sign up by May 19th, and we will have those available to you. We're so excited to meet with you and see you and support your growth.
If you're interested, click the links in the show notes. Go to theeasefulupleveldpodcast.com if you want to get all the details. Girl, it's all there for you. Follow us on Instagram, also at The Easeful Up Level. And we hope you have a beautiful week.